I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Born May 17th in Riggins, Idaho, he is a stand-up comedian who you've seen in such specials as Revenge is Near, Crazy with a Capital F, Don't Wake the Bear, Maybe I'm the Problem, and Get Out of Here Devil, as well as hosting the popular podcasts Time Suck, Incredible Feats, Is We Dumb, and Scared to Death. And this October, his Symphony of Insanity tour rolls into the Improv. Please welcome, longtime friend of the show, Dan Cummins.
Hail Nimrod.
Hail Nimrod.
How are you, man?
Things in Kansas City.
Dude, you know what? Opening up a little bit. Everything's starting to get back to normal. We announced your impending October date so everybody can clear the schedules.
Yeah, I'm excited to relearn stand-up.
Yeah.
It's been so long, it feels like I'm going to be starting over, which is kind of, you know, it makes me nervous, but kind of exciting, too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, listen, you... Unlike everybody else, everybody thought, oh, this will be a time to really get some things done and really things I've been wanting to do. I'll learn to paint. I'll learn a new language. I'll get in great shape. I'll create something new. You're the only one I know who actually did more stuff.
It is ridiculous. Like, I was trying to explain that to my agent the other day about touring. He was like, you know, I had to scale back a little bit. I was like, man, I took on, like, all these extra projects. So fun. But, yeah, we were really lucky, just able to be – really busy during the pandemic. And also, we live in this like weird little bubble here in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, where basically the pandemic ended here about 5 months ago for all intent and purposes. I mean, yes, it's still there, obviously, but like nobody cares. Like it's the weirdest thing where we barely ever had masks here. Like, like there was just this attitude here like, nope, not going to acknowledge it. Just going to continue and live life the same. And so, you know, like,
I've been to Idaho. I've been to Idaho, and it's a lot like parts of the South where either it's an amazing human or you're like, what the f- wrong with you type people.
Right. Yeah. It's a little, it's crazy good and bad here.
Yeah.
Just being from here, it just cracks me up. Like Idaho reminds me of like a character in an old Western where he's like the guy that, you know, if he even thinks that you're insulting him, he goes to grab his gun. Like, what'd you say? What was that?
That is Idaho, man.
Here it's over anything. It's like, hey buddy, the numbers are spiking. You want to wear a mask? What was that? What'd you say? You want to go draw? Okay, let's go.
We were in Idaho. Like, no. We got there, we're on motorcycles, and something had happened in Yellowstone, and I'm just eating breakfast with A-hole Bob, and these guys all of a sudden next to us like, yeah, they're going to kill these wolves, and they're talking about killing wolves, and why they got to kill the wolves, and their elks were being decimated, you tell me 8 or 10 wolves can decimate an Idaho's elk population? And he's like, you calling me a liar queer? You know what I mean? Just like, I'm sorry, just eating bacon, asked a question. Didn't mean to question you, sir. But they were serious.
In my hometown, I was just down there. My hometown is mostly famous for beer cooler races down the side of the mountain every rodeo.
I'm good with that.
Like, 25 years ago, they literally would just beat up hippies for fun. Like, it was like a known thing. If like a guy with a ponytail came through town, like they would just try to beat him up because it was fun for them. And if you brought up something about like, I like wolves, it would be like a bar stool scratch on the floor. Like, what was that? What did you say?
Yeah.
You say you hate my family? You say you hate my livelihood? Let's go outside. Let's draw.
You hate Jesus Christ, the flag, and all children that are holy? You know, Christians? Yeah.
Right. It was, I was dying this last summer when all the, there was, you know, Antifa, you know, some protests and stuff going on in Seattle and Portland. And then Coeur d'Alene, there was nothing going on. But people around here, it's like when you, there's a lot of preppers and a lot of people just waiting, like militia. like I was just getting coffee at this place about an hour north of us. And this guy, probably 65, 70 years old, you can tell he's been waiting for 30 years for an excuse for like the war to happen. And he actively tried to recruit me into like the Oath Keepers, some militia group.
Oh,
do
God.
Stakeouts against Antifa in this town of 5,000 people. I'm like, they're not coming here. Like, there's only four of it that could be destroyed anyway. Like, they're not, I promise you they're not coming. But he's, like, staying up, you know, every night, doing all this. And then you drive through downtown here, and I swear this would terrify a lot of people from, like, L.A. or, I don't know, New York City, or probably most cities. But you would drive down downtown Coeur d'Alene, there's all these people hanging out in these bars where you can, you know, basically drink out on the sidewalk. And they would have AR-15s in one hand and a drink in the other. And that was just normal. That was just how life was for a couple months.
And you know, and I'm a shooter. Like, I like target shooting, yeah. And I enjoy guns. But yeah, no, I don't carry them to bars with me and then lean them up against the bar stool. It seems rife with issue.
No, I feel like during a tense time, maybe bringing it into the bar and getting drunk while carrying a loaded, you know, weapon is maybe not the best idea to not go to prison.
A lot of people
disagree.
See, you love to walk this tightrope. You're just joining the show, the great friend of the show, Dan Cummins. You're scary to them, but then I think you like to get right in the middle of them and poke bears and just ask odd, open-ended questions that lead them to their own psychotic reaction?
Right. I just grew up around it. Like, I just grew up around conspiracy talk and, like, all of that stuff. And, I'm just weirdly used to it. And, and they don't scare me like some people. Like,
no.
I think I just understand them. Like, I grew up with them. I'm one of them in a weird way.
Sure, but you have what we call critical thinking. So if it doesn't make sense and it's just completely illogical, like QAnon, the idea that I of course there's human trafficking and of course there are terrible pedophiles in this world, but the idea that you'd have to have three major malfunctions of being satanic, pedophile, cannibal, I'd say the odds are pretty goddamn slim.
They just take it too far. That's the thing, and I've said that a million times. Like, it's like. Exactly what you said. It's like, you know, are there disgusting pedophiles? Absolutely. Are there Satanists? It's like, well, yeah, but not like you think. I mean, in reality, most Satanists are actually pretty chill. Most Satanists are just people who like to rile up religious people. Like, there's actually nothing evil about them if you dig in. And then that whole cabal of global elites. It's just funny to me. It's a weird projection, I think. It's like, I think if you're somebody who's worried about every, like, very wealthy person, that apparently their end goal, once they got all that money, was to use it to, you know, eat and have sex with and drink the adrenochrome of, you know, children. I always think, well, like, what does that say about you? Like, you think that that's, like, what everybody is secretly harboring? So then I think, like, is that what you want? Like, are you just, once I get all that money, I'm finally going to live the dream. Get those kids.
Oh, my God.
Put, you know, put them in cages.
Chili's ain't got no baby back on the ones I'm eating.
Right. And the adrenochrome thing, that one is so,
so
outlandish.
And where Hunter S. Thompson. It was Hunter S. Thompson.
Exactly. It's fictional. It's like, yes, there is adrenal glands, and yes, there's fluid, but like they've actually done studies. There was one study where some people theorized decades ago in Canada, like two researchers, like, hey, I think maybe this adrenal gland, you know, fluid could be used to treat schizophrenia. And then a bunch of other studies came out and went, nope, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And that was it for reality.
But the idea
that got woven into Hunter S. Thompson and all this stuff.
Yeah.
They think that it like makes you youthful. It just got, it's weird how it got twisted.
Yeah, the fact that you had to scare it, and it's such a bad, and maybe actually, I take that back. It's actually a decent movie plot twist where the kids have to be super scared. So they terrify them, so their adrenaline runs, and that's when they kill them. I'm like,
it's just the
they didn't magically make the adrenaline at that moment. So theoretically, if you follow to its logical conclusion, it was already in them. Just eat the whole kid.
Right, right. It's just they take to the first. I think humanity just needs a boogeyman.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's like every culture has, like, if not the devil, there's, you know, witches and these evil warlocks and these monsters, you know, like mythological creatures out in the woods, something to be scared of.
Right.
And the new thing to be scared of is this secret cabal of global elite satanic pedophiles.
or Antifa.
Right. And Antifa's a weird one where I got a lot of flack for apparently not going hard enough on Antifa. It's not that I'm pro-looter at all, because I'm not.
Right.
You know, it's like I'm technically a small business owner. I don't want somebody burning anybody's downtown. That doesn't.
Of course.
I'm not anti-capitalism. But what's tricky about them is they become a boogeyman where, yes, they've done some things for sure. But also, a lot of people will, anytime somebody loots and they're dressed in black, they'll be like, well, that's Antifa. Is it, or is it just some people just angry? Is it just writers? Where QAnon left a trail, they just made it obvious who they were. They wore the hats, they wore the shirts, they had it on their profile pictures. They left comments online for a year and a half talking about how they're worried about Tom Hanks, you know, and the Clintons and the Bushes sitting around a table, I guess, feasting on some children's adrenochrome. Oh, my God. And that one blew my mind, because we had covered that on our little kind of subscriber podcast a year and a half ago before we covered it on Time Sucks, and we barely covered it for a 15-minute segment because we thought it was too stupid even for all the dumb stuff we do on that show. We're like, this is so stupid. And then for that one to blow up, it blew my mind that, like, this Q, whoever this person or people were on 4chan, you know, doing these drops or these posts, it was always predictions. And they were wrong every time. And yet these people kept on. Like, the very first post was that, you know, Hillary Rodham Clinton going to be taken into custody. They're taking them down. Going to happen tomorrow. You know, be on watch. Be prepared. And then tomorrow would happen. She wouldn't be arrested. And then it would be like, you just wait. The twist is coming. The storm is coming. One week from today, these global elites, George Soros, will be taken down. And then that would happen. Nothing. Okay. New twist. They haven't taken him because there's even more people. Bill Gates and Tom Hanks are in on it. You just wait. Tomorrow, Wednesday, 9 a.m., they're going down. That would pass. All right. Maybe I misspoke, but what I really meant to say was 1 week from now, and then it just went on for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
Nothing.
If I found out later on that you were the one taunting these people from behind to amuse yourself with ridiculous ideas to see who would believe it, I wouldn't even be surprised, Dan. I'd be like, yep, that all makes sense to me now.
I watched that HBO docuseries, that Into the Storm, and I think that's kind of what this father and son did that host these servers out of the Philippines, Jim and Ron Watkins. And part of me is like, man, I bet that Ron Watkins kid, I wonder if that's what he did. He just did it just to see if he could do it.
Yeah.
We joked years ago about just what you're saying. If I wasn't so busy doing all these podcasts, we thought, what if we just come up with this weird conspiracy character? We were going to do it on YouTube before they took all the conspiracy stuff off of YouTube, basically, and just do voice modulation and have me in the shadows because I know how to speak that language. And I'll just say the craziest things ever and see how many people we can get to follow it. And now that I saw where that led with Q, I'm like, well, maybe that's not the best idea. Maybe I'm glad I didn't do that.
Which leads you to your next podcast, Is We Dumb?
Right. Is We Dumb is just like recess for me and Joe, the co-host. What I love about that one is that one is I can't believe every week that we basically just don't, that like cancel culture hasn't come for us. Like we say the most horrific things every single week under just, you know, joking around. Actually, the one we just recorded, sometimes we still shock ourselves. We start off with a would you rather just to get our brains warmed up.
Right.
And we did this, would you rather have to always feel like ants are crawling all over your body, or every time you have sex, a clown shows up next to you and stares at you. Like, which one?
I could live with the clown eventually. Eventually, I could live with the clown.
Right. We went so far in the clown. That's what we picked the clown. But then But then we went to this scenario, like, what if somebody else's would you rather was you had to dress like a clown and show up and stare at somebody? So basically, like, the clown doesn't even want to be there any more than you want to be there. And then you're so sick of the clown popping in to stare at you that eventually you start, like, the clown's going to watch. You're like, all right, next time you come, you're going to be part of the act. And then basically you start raping the clown when the clown pops up in your scenario. And then pretty soon, to scare the clown further, you're dressing up as the clown. And then pretty soon in that situation, like, we had it, like, you're the sadist with this weird sex dungeon of all these, you know, torture devices waiting for the clown to show up who doesn't even want to be there. And he's not even dressed up like a clown anymore. He's just like, please, I don't want to do this. Please. He's like he's an accountant.
What kind of maniacal stream of consciousness nightmare are you broadcasting?
Right, right. It got so dark. Oh, and then we're like, well, that was the start of the show.
Where did the chastity cage finally end up? The male chastity cage that we sent you.
I know we talked about that. I can't remember which episode.
But I heard it. It was great.
That made it on the show. Nobody has put it on, but it is definitely sitting in our studio, which our studio. I bring you up a lot, actually. Where when people walk in to our place, I got to actually get to your house one of these times. I've seen all the pictures. I've been to Disgraceland numerous times. But it reminds me of, like, what random people, like, dropping off the mail must think of when they kind of come onto your place.
I forget.
All this macabre stuff.
Yeah.
Because when random people come into our office now, we just have, like, portraits of serial killers. We have several mannequins with, like, devil masks. We have, like, weird sexual, like, dildos and things all around, but also just, like, horror imagery and, like, monsters. Like, famous.
Yeah.
It looks like the Q layer. It looks like we are Q. We should have kids in cages that are scared that we're about to eat their adrenochrome.
You should.
That's all we're missing.
Always hire kids. Just at some point, you pull the tablecloth off, and the entire underneath the table is nothing but kids in cages.
Right.
It'd be so fantastic. Listen, I got Ghost Ride on today. Ghost Ride production. So here's the weird connection. So I've told you about the Trans World Haunt Show. It's the national convention for professional haunted houses. It's happening this weekend in St. Louis. And
that's,
man,
so cool.
If you could hop a flight and do some interviews here, you would lose your goddamn mind. It's some of the best weirdos in the world. But Greg from GhostRide.com, his brother is Doug Stanhope's tour manager.
I love Doug Stanhope. He's so good.
Oh, so good. And so that's how we all ended up being friends, because I go buy the stuff from Ghost Ride, but they make some of the most hyper-realistic, awful things you've ever seen in your life. GhostRideProductions.com. And you just download their compendium and just go through it. You're going to be like, Jesus Christ almighty. I'll send you some pictures. I've got two or three things in my house that are just horrendous. But
that's awesome.
Yeah. It's man, I wish you could make it to the show this weekend.
I know. We always have so many ridiculous things going on here. It's like so hard to get to those kind of conventions and things. I will definitely, like, check it out. That is something that would be so fun.
Listen.
I got a couple more years, and then the kids are in college.
Look, those kids are going to run away before they ever get to college.
They're so weird. We've ruined them.
What was the game you were playing where you'd hide from each other?
What now?
What was a game you were playing with the kids? Somebody would hit somebody and then they would hide.
We stopped doing that one. That was just smacking each other and then running off while the other person, until they kind of give them time to calm down. Lately, it's the joking around. I just forget how different my sense of humor is than a lot of people. Lately, it's been talks of, like, all right, this is how we joke at home, but we can't joke this way. When, you know, like, your friends come over, or they're going to tell their parents, and you're probably not going to have friends anymore. You're going to be the weirdest kid in school. Like, the joke we do lately is Monroe, my daughter, she thinks it's funny. My son started doing this thing about being an alpha male, like, just being absurd. And so my poor wife, anytime she makes a mistake, he'll just be like this character around home that is, like, super sexist. So, just being absurd. He'll be like, well, of course you can't, you know, do that. I mean, you're a woman, right? You can barely read. And
then how old is he?
He's 15. And then he'll be like, men. And then, like, high-five me, like, at the dinner table or whatever, like, glad to be a man. Well, then my daughter, Monroe, to make it even more inappropriate and weird, she started talking about how she's my real oldest son. So she went from youngest sister to oldest son. She's a dude now. She has the biggest penis in the family. And now she's the first one to make those jokes. So now, like, when her stepmom messes up, she's like, women, am I right? And she's like, sure feels good to be a dude with a huge penis. But she doesn't say, she says, you know, a more less PC version of penis. And then, like, high fives me and Tyler at the table. Like, it's ridiculous.
How old is she?
She's 13.
See, that's so fantastic. I want to just come and stay with you for a while.
We'll be out at a restaurant, and then, like, it must be so weird for the tables around us, where it's like my 13-year-old daughter's like, women, am I right? We can't trust them. Like, high five.
All women are sluts and whores except your mother, and only I call her that. Yeah. That's so great, dude. Oh, listen, everybody, you got to check out everything he's doing. It's Dan Cummins, Is We Dumb, Incredible Feats, Scared to Death, Time Suck Podcast, all of it, man. Just Google him and just find it. I'm telling you, you'll really enjoy it. It's dude, I got to roll, but it's always good to hear you. Always good to touch base with you, man. I can't wait to see you.
Oh, thanks, man. I can't wait to see you. If you ever get out this way with one of your rides, man, hit me up. We got a boat. Have you out on the lake? We'll drink some whiskey, whatever, man. But
I
love to see it. I know I got to get out there one of these days, man. I love you, man.
I love you, brother. Take care, man. Let me put you on with Jake. Hold on.